Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition of the Sportster Show brought to you by thesportster.com. We've got a big weekend coming up here. Norman Quarantine's with me on the other line. Norman, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. It's Jim Parsons here with sportster.com. For everybody who watches and listens to the show, I guess just listens at this point, we've got Elimination Chamber this weekend, and we're going to be talking a lot about that. We're going to go through the card. We're going to predict our matches. We're going to ask and answer how we think this card is built up, the big pay-per-view before WrestleMania. There's also some news we're going to talk about with AEW and WWE, but let's talk Elimination Chamber first. Let's walk through the card. They're setting it up quite nicely. It's come really quickly after the Royal Rumble. Like, Royal Rumble feels like it just happened, and now Elimination Chamber is in like 3 days. Do you like that it's so close? Like, do you feel like it's had enough time to build?
Yeah, that's kind of a, I guess so, because then it gives them a little bit more time to build from to do what they need to do between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. It is always interesting to me that they have this they've been doing it for you know, over 20 years now, I guess, but it's always interesting that they have this pay-per-view in between Rumble and Mania, which is, you know, because it's ostensibly, you know, Rumble is where the road to WrestleMania begins, and if you win the Rumble, then you're getting a title shot at WrestleMania. But then there's this like sort of weird, you know, middle child pay-per-view crammed in the middle always. And sometimes I think it's actually been pretty useful when it comes to booking, because it allows them, especially when they've had two main titles, you know, because it allows them to figure something out with the title that, if whoever wins the Rumble picks one title, then they can figure out what's going on with the other title, Elimination Chamber and stuff like that. But yeah, I like that it was, it does feel very quick, right? I feel like we're still kind of recovering from the Rumble, but I like a good Elimination Chamber match. I do wish they would maybe just go back to making this like the No Way Out pay-per-view and just have an Elimination Chamber match as and when needed, you know, like it used to be. But because it just feels like two Elimination Chamber matches on one show, and then one of, you know, and neither of them are for main titles, you know, one's for a number one contender's opportunity, and then one's for a mid-card title, which is good because it elevates that mid-card title a little bit. But yeah, certainly a little weird, like I said, a little weird middle child pay-per-view on the road to WrestleMania, but don't hate it, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, you're one of the first people I've talked to that has mentioned the chamber matches themselves as the thing that might be drawing people in. I haven't thought once about the chamber matches.
Interesting, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of all of the action and the card that has been built so far, the chamber matches are the least interesting thing on here to me, right? Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn, obviously for me, number one. And that's one of the things why, yes, it's feeling very quickly like, oh man, it's all of a sudden, it's on us. But we could have seen this Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn thing coming from 6 months away. So when you announce it, you're like, all right, it makes total sense. Yeah, we're going to have this match. Like, So it feels like a long build, like that we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that thing to blow, and it finally did, and now you've got the Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn match. So for me, while this match has only been official for like 2 weeks, it kind of feels like we knew this was coming. The other thing I like about it is that they've left the door open for possible change at WrestleMania. Yes, they have announced that it is Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, but they've planted those seeds of doubt that maybe Sammy could walk away from this with the titles, or at the very least walk away with the opportunity to add himself as a triple threat match to WrestleMania 39, which then makes it really interesting. And it feels then like Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and WrestleMania are all one big storyline combined together, and you needed them to be that close to make it work. So that's really interesting. And then when you've got Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, which we've seen before, but we're not surprised to see again, you've got Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Balor and Ripley. Like, it sort of just works, right? Yeah, it was really quick. Like, it was like, all of a sudden it's here, but I kind of like it. And the chamber matches are the two things that I'm kind of like, all right, those are happening.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Where do you want to start? Let's go through the card. You want to go main event first or main event last?
Yes, I guess since we were just talking about it, we can go for the main, well, what we assume is going to be the main event first, right?
Well, I think from what we understand that it is. And the part of the conversation there in WWE behind the scenes was that there was some concern at first that not having an Elimination Chamber match be the main event could be problematic when your pay-per-view is called Elimination Chamber. But they decided that this storyline is so compelling and the drama around it and the interest in it and Sami Zayn specifically is so high. They're like, no one will care. Like they want this to be the main event. They expect this to be the main event. It only makes sense that it's the main event. And so
it's going to be two pay-per-views in a row, right? Where you know, Royal Rumble, the main event wasn't a Royal Rumble. It was a Roman Reigns match. Now we've got Elimination Chamber. The main event isn't an Elimination Chamber. It's a Roman Reigns match. So I guess, and it makes sense with everything that's been going on in terms of storylines and stuff. So yeah. But yeah, I think this is a huge match. It hasn't been official. Like you said earlier, it hasn't been official for that long, but we all knew it was coming, and they have done a really, really, really good job of, I think, making people believe that actually anything. I think most people still see it as a foregone conclusion that Roman's going to retain. There's going to be some kind of shenanigans, and that's whatever those shenanigans are is going to set up what Sammy ends up doing at WrestleMania, and Roman's going to retain and end up facing Cody. But I think they've done all they can really to make at least add a little glimmer that something else, another outcome is possible. And I can't remember if we talked about this last time, but you know, not to sort of this isn't a completely similar situation to the Daniel Bryan situation at WrestleMania 30, was it? It's not completely similar to that, but there are some similarities there. And I wonder how much the existence, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I wonder how much the existence of AEW has impacted how fans watching WWE respond to things like this, because I feel like now that there's an alternative, a certain type of fan has kind of given up on WWE and just gone over to AEW. And that's why you're now seeing, I think, the crowds at WWE events, for the most part, are willing to, they're very sort of pro WWE and are willing to sort of accept whatever WWE is presenting and they're patient and they are willing to let it play out. Right? Does this make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that the Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson stuff from WrestleMania is certainly, you can draw comparisons, absolutely. Like, there's a lot of that here. And I think the fans, some of them are concerned that this is going to negatively affect Cody Rhodes, who they're digging, by the way. The ratings are really high when he's
on. And that's the big difference between this and the Danielson thing, right? Nobody cared about a Randy Orton Batista match in 2014.
Right.
But everybody cares, almost everybody cares about a Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match in 2023. So that's the big difference there. But Sami Zayn is the, you know, he's been, you know, he's causing some booking headaches, I suppose.
Well, in a good way, though. It's like a fantastic problem to have, right? Like, this is, when you talk about the AEW stuff and the alternative, yes, AEW is an alternative for wrestling fans, but I believe the fans just want good storytelling, and this is what they're getting right now. Like, there has never, I mean, I'll think what you will about a guy like Eric Bischoff, but when he says, you know, this is better than anything we ever did with the NWO, that should be a compliment, like a major one, because the NWO was arguably up to this point the biggest storyline in the last 35 years in wrestling. Like, it changed the game in terms of everything that you knew about what wrestling could be, and the bad guys being cool and all that other stuff. Like, it just shifted the industry in such a dramatic way that when he's the guy who, he sort of stole it from Japan, but when he's the guy who makes that storyline work and that creative idea explode like it did, when he says this is better than anything we ever did with the NWO, you know it's good. Like, it's good storytelling. And so I would hope that WWE and AEW fans can put their loyalties to the side here and just go, this is really good. We want to watch this play out. However it plays out, whatever it is. And for me, this match, I have no doubt that Roman Reigns wins this thing. Like, I absolutely believe, I'd be shocked if Roman Reigns does not walk away still the WWE Universal Undisputed Champion.
Yeah.
What I do think will happen, though, is that WWE will book this in a way that leaves them two or three options for WrestleMania, because I do think they are a little bit concerned that if it doesn't go Sami Zayn's way, the fan reaction could affect WrestleMania 39. And I think that's why we're seeing Cody being booked in the ring with Paul Heyman, Cody being booked in the ring with Sami Zayn, and these promos being so good that you're like, they're doing everything. And I mentioned this on one of the shows. They're doing everything they can to make sure people stay on Cody's side, which I think is ingenious. I think it's really smart. That doesn't mean the fans will stay with him all the way if Sami Zayn's not part of this. So I think they will leave that option open. I don't know that Sami Zayn joins the WrestleMania 39 main event. I don't think he actually will, to be honest. But I think they want that option if they need it. And I think that's where they're going to end up booking Elimination Chamber, is that they're going to keep that door open. And that's why I think you hear Cody say, look, if he joins the main event, I have no issue with it. I can't fault anybody for being hot. And Sami Zayn is as hot as it gets right now in wrestling, right? Yeah. So that's what I think happens. Roman Reigns wins this, but I think we're going to get an ending here where on Monday's Raw, we could be like, this could go anywhere. Like, this literally could go anywhere. And I think WWE wants that, so that we're all like, okay, what are they doing here, right?
Yeah, and I guess what I was getting at as well, I feel like that's probably what will happen, and I feel like fans are going to be okay with that. Whereas I think maybe 5 years ago, you would have had a more, the negative reaction to Sammy not being involved in the title picture at WrestleMania would have been, there would have been a little bit more pushback. Whereas right now, I think people are a bit more content to just sort of let it play out and accept what's going on. But you know, if it was me, I don't know what I would do. I think Cody is obviously the heir apparent. He sort of is radiating star power, and his promos have been very, you know, not very good lately for the most part, very engaging and enjoyable, and he is hooking people in. So yeah, he's the obvious heir apparent, because obviously Roman can't be champion forever. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know if I was booking it, I don't know what I would do. Maybe I would have Sammy win at Mania and have Cody win at SummerSlam or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. I think what there is a trust among the fan base that nobody's being shoved down anybody's throat. That was the big contention with the Batista and the Orton. And the other stuff was that everybody was like, it isn't just that Daniel Bryan's not getting this push. It's that Batista is. And not that we hate Batista, but we don't like Batista like we like Daniel Bryan. And WWE has chosen Batista, and we don't like it.
Yeah.
And that was the rebellion. That was the kickback. They were all like, no, we don't want Batista here. We want Daniel Bryan here. But at least now, I think fans are looking at this and going, WWE's open to what we give them. So if we say it's Sami Zayn, maybe it'll be Sami Zayn. If we say it's Cody, maybe it'll be Cody. And I think they trust that Triple H or whoever is going to make this decision at the end of the day is going to go, we need to do what the fans need us to do. And I think they trust that. And so that could steer the ship. I don't know that they have an outcome predicted for WrestleMania 30. Like, you're like, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they don't know what they're going to do.
That's
you know what I mean? Like, it's certainly possible that they could be like, we thought we were going this way. The fans have told us they want us to go this way, and that's what we're going to do. And so that could be very interesting. And I think it's cool that Cody, I mean, maybe he's just saying the right things, but it is cool that they are open to it.
And so very quick sidebar, just because you mentioned the feeling that people are being shoved down our throats. That, yeah, they've WWE lately, especially under Triple H, we certainly haven't had that feel as obvious. You know, that I can't think of anyone where it feels like they're being shoved down our throats in a way that we don't like. Maybe Lacey Evans, maybe Austin Theory, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Because Bron Breakker, very quickly. Yeah, I don't know if you watched NXT this week, but Bron Breakker has the NXT crowd has fully turned on Bron Breakker. So
yeah, even Jinder Mahal was talking about it, right?
Yeah, they're gonna have to do something with that. Otherwise they're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, we got a few minutes. Let's run through the rest of the card really quickly. The Elimination Chamber US Championship. So Austin Theory is going to defend with Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, and Montez Ford in here. To me, this is probably Austin Theory walking away, still the champion.
Yeah.
I think Bronson Reed's going to have a really cool showing. I think there's going to be a lot of pops for whatever it is that he does. Seth Rollins might be the favorite to walk out of here with this, but I don't think it'll happen. I think when you've got Rollins already having won the United States title a couple times, you don't need him going there again. And if you're pushing him towards Logan Paul at WrestleMania, why do you need the title involved there? So I think it's going to be Austin Theory.
Yeah. If personally, I think you're right. Maybe Rollins wins and then they have a title, like Rollins and Logan Paul have a title match at Mania. If it was me, I would personally use this as a launch pad for a Montez Ford singles run. That's just what I would do because I'm a big Montez Ford fan. I think he's great. And I think he's definitely, the future is definitely bright for him. And they might want to pull the trigger on that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they write that story if that's what happens, because if you come back to Raw and Montez Ford is your U.S. champion and then Angelo Dawkins is supposed to be happy for him, it's kind of like, how would that go? So that could be interesting. The other Elimination Chamber match, Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan, Nikki Cross, Asuka, Natalya, and Carmella. It's either, for me, Raquel Rodriguez or Asuka, and it depends on how they decide they want to push this Asuka character forward. I'm getting mixed signals from them. Like when she battled Chelsea Green, Chelsea Green got a lot of offense in there, which I was very surprised by. But then we also have seen Asuka sort of dominate and be really creepy. And if they're trying to turn her, and I know that you're going to hate this comparison, but if they're trying to turn her into somewhat of a Bray Wyatt, where there's that mystique and that cryptic whatever around her, maybe she needs to win a big match like this. For me, I think it's probably going to be Raquel Rodriguez though.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah, I hope it's Asuka, but yeah, I could see basically anyone. I don't think Cross, Natalya, and Carmella stand a chance, but I think more Liv, Raquel, and Asuka are the more likely candidates.
Yeah, yeah, Liv has a shot here too. I just wonder if because of a Royal Rumble push, maybe they don't give her another one, but who knows? Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. I'm thinking Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley get it here, and I think Ripley's going to be the one that really shines because they want to push her towards WrestleMania on a high note, make her look dominant, make her look like she could absolutely take this thing from Charlotte Flair. So I think you need to have her coming out of this pay-per-view looking really strong. What do you believe on this one?
Yeah, I agree, actually. Yeah, it'd be weird to have Rhea lose right before a big Mania match. And then that gives them something. I don't know, was Edge and Finn Balor a match at last year's WrestleMania? Wasn't that a match?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, our memories, but yeah, I'm gonna say Judgment Day on this one, but I'm not positive.
Well, and I think it helps if you get a big win over Beth Phoenix, who doesn't need to win here. That says something, right? Like Beth Phoenix still has that aura about her. She hasn't been in the game much lately and for a long time, but when she was pretty dominant. And if Rhea Ripley can beat her and it doesn't necessarily hurt Edge to have that happen, then I think it's a good move for Ripley.
Totally.
What about Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley? We've seen this one before. This is basically Lesnar versus Lashley 3. We're getting the heel version of Lashley. If you watch Monday's Raw, that was very heelish of Bobby Lashley, which it's kind of I was a little surprised, like in a good way, that WWE was able to pull that off, because the fans have really been behind Bobby Lashley of late, but they turned on him pretty quickly on Monday's Raw and got really behind Brock Lesnar. So I'm going with Lesnar on this one, which I think then would lead to Lashley feeling like he needs to reform the Hurt Business. That's how I see this going. I don't know that for sure, but I'm going to pick Lesnar in this one.
Yeah, I can't really, like, I guess I could see that. I think whatever happens, I think they might run this back at Mania, to be honest. Or maybe...
I hope not. I hope it's Lesnar or Gunther.
I mean, I would hope so too. But then I don't know if the Hurt Business is getting back together. I don't know. Maybe Lesnar finds some app. Well, I don't know. Because you've got the Shelton Benjamin Brock Lesnar connection there. So that makes things a bit more interesting. But yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the show's going to be good. I'm wondering if like the last 30% of this is all Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. Like if this is going to be like, you know, the Royal Rumble match finished with a really long story after the match was over. It's like, man, this thing's going for like another 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're going to see that again here. Like the rest of the matches are going to be really rushed and feel very quick. And then all of a sudden this last match is going to take up a huge chunk of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But I do believe it's going to be, if not solid in-ring action, certainly entertaining. Like from a storyline perspective, I just, they haven't missed yet with this Bloodline, Sami Zayn stuff. I don't see why they're going to start on Saturday. I think they're going to hit this out of the park, whatever it is they choose to do. I'm just very curious to see what the fan reaction is going to be.
Yeah, should be a good show. And then I guess before we wrap up, real quick, I don't know if you saw this kind of happened while, like literally seconds before we started recording, but it looks like Tony Khan has confirmed that Ring of Honor, the weekly Ring of Honor TV show is going to be back from March 2nd on the Honor Club streaming service, which is, should be interesting for sure.
Yeah, well, I do hope that they get Ring of Honor kind of really going. Like, it's not great that they couldn't find a TV deal, but that they're going to stream it regularly, they're going to have regular content. I hope that they have this promotion really, really clicking on all cylinders, because
we want it to succeed. It's, you know, it's got a good history. It's produced, you know, we're talking about Sami Zayn, right? Well, I guess that was El Generico, and that's not the same person.
Yeah, there's a lot of people came out of there, though.
Yeah. Kevin Owens, you know, there's a lot of people, even Seth Rollins, you know, there's people we talk about a lot who cut their teeth in Ring of Honor. And so it's a very, very important promotion. It's an important brand. Whatever happens, I personally don't think Tony Khan should book it, because I would like it if it, I don't know that he, first of all, I think he's spreading himself too thin. And I don't know that the AEW booking mentality would actually necessarily work with ROH. So I think he should hand the book over to maybe like Christopher Daniels or someone like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for Ring of Honor for sure.
No, it'll be good. All right. Well, we were going to talk a lot more news on this show, but we've run out of time. We're not going to have a chance to do that. So we're going to put another one together here. We'll talk a lot about AEW, WWE, some of Tony Khan's comments about AEW and WWE targeting them and all the fun things that he's alleging or has apparently been alleged to him. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that on another show, but we wanted to make sure we covered the Elimination Chamber card, go through our predictions, talk about what we thought was going to happen. And we spent most of the show talking about Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns, which was entertaining. So I hope.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like the biggest story in wrestling right now. So yeah, I guess.
For sure.
No regrets.
No, that was a good conversation to have. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us on this show. Please don't forget, download, subscribe, share this. Go to thesportster.com, check out all the articles that we are writing about everything leading into Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And of course, I should say premium live event. And of course, WrestleMania 39, which is not that far away. It's coming up right around the corner here. Norman, thank you. From Jim Parsons here at the Sportster. That's been another edition of the Sportster Show. We'll talk to you folks on the next one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.